the very old minute that we recite Slichas before Rosh Hashanah, then in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Seems that they had the minig in the days of the Gemara also. When is the correct Hizman to say Slichas? So the correct Hizman is really before Alos HaShachar. You're really supposed to finish Slichas before Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is something like an hour and a half before sunrise, very early morning. We usually don't wake up so early. So the Meiri in the Chibur HaTshuva, the big fat sefer, records the minig that you say slichas after chatzos. This is based on the Zohar, it's not based on Gemara. The Dayan in Vilna in the late 1800s were the two brothers of Shlomo Vilna and the Tzal Vilna. Tzal Vilna was the younger brother. So they printed a sefer Ma'aseh Rav, has a collection of all the hanhogas of the Grob. And they have horas from the Rashash and the Ma'aseh Rav, and horas from different Gdolim, and horas from Rav Shlomo Vilna, the regular edition of the Ma'aseh Rav, the standard edition. So he has the first piece he has by waking up to say Tikkun Chatzos. So he says Tikkun Chatzos is based on the Zohar, that after Chatzos HaLaila is the proper time to offer Tchinas. In the Gemara, doesn't really appear in the Gemara. In the first Perek in Brachas, it talks about the Gimel Mishmaris Abi Alayla, that the Mishmaris of the angels change. They have three, just like in the army, they have different shifts of soldiers serve guard duty in the course of the night. So the night is divided up into three parts. So at the end of the first 4 hours, they switch Mishmaris Mishalfas into the next 4 hours. So if the night begins at 6 p.m. and ends at 6 a.m. in the morning, approximately 6 to 6, so from 6 to 10 is the first 10 o'clock in the Mishmaris HaMeschavos, and 2 o'clock in the Mishmaris HaMeschavos. So the Gemara says that Ribbono Shel Olam cries over the fact that he had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he had to send his children into Golus. And the Gemara seems to say that that's the best time that we should cry along with him. They ask him that he should have Rachmanus on us, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and restore the Kavod up in Yisrael. So that's why in some places in Europe they had a minhag to recite Slichas at 10 o'clock at night. Now that you have daylight savings time, so it does make sense to say Slichas at 10 o'clock. But anything, they should say 11 o'clock, and they should calculate when the first third of the night is over. But we don't really have that minhag. Rav Soloveitchik, when he was old and feeble, so he used to say Slichas. There used to always be a minyan in the dormitory to say Slichas right after Ma'ariv. So he was just old and falling apart, so he says slichas then. But more correct, he said, is to say slichas in the morning. More correct is not to say before chatzoy. Some achronim even say apikabol at zasser. And if you're in a shul where they're saying slichas, yeshiv yidom, you shouldn't answer the yud gimel leaders before chatzoy. And to say tilim before chatzoy is also not right. That's what the mekubalim say. Some Mekubalim say, Bechlal is not right to learn Torah Shebichsa Balayla. More correct is you learn Torah Shebichsa Bayom, Torah Shebalpe Balayla. Because the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu is on top of Har Sinai, how did he know when it was Yom, when it was Laila? When the Ribbono Shel Olam taught him Torah Shebichsa, he knew it was Yom. When the Ribbono Shel Olam taught him Torah Shebalpe, when he taught him Torah Shebichsa, he knew it was Yom. When he taught him Torah Shebalpe, he knew it was Laila. Because by Laila, you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichsa. Torah Shebichsa is Bebchinas Midas Adin. And Laila, the Midas Adin is Shoylet, so you don't want to have more Din. So you should learn Torah Shebalpeh. So more correct really is to say, if you have a toss up, whether to say Slichas at 7:15 or at Chatzos HaLaila, so the 7:15 is after Hanetz HaChama. So the Pashta says it's certainly better to say at Chatzos HaLaila, unless it's going to just destroy you all day. So then you say 7:15.
Isn't there a Makar in Shas for this Tikkun Chatzos?
Right. We know Chatzos exists. Yeah, we know there's a din deraisa Chatzos. Korban Pesach, Nechalat Chatzos, that's a machloek in Satanayim, 2 days in Tosis, how we paskin. Well, Chatzos is deraisa derabana by Korban Pesach, but there is a din deraisa that depends on Chatzos. Chatzos is equal. Means that, let's say, you put flesh on the Mizbeach, Korban Oilo, you put on the Mizbeach, or a murim of it, the other Korban is the fat, and it was burnt and it was charred. And it's charred on the outside, but it's still raw on the inside. So the Gemara says, if it already came chatzais, and the carbon is shriri, the flesh is already charred on the outside, even though it's on the inside, it falls off of the mizbeach, that there's no mitzvah about haduri poikin. There's no mitzvah to put it back on, because chatzos oisa ikul. When it comes chatzos and it's charred on the outside, it's considered mu'uk, it's considered finished, the akhtar is finished. So there is, that's learned out from psukim, that's a din deraisa. There is halacha of chatzos, not just that it's a zman.
Yeah,
the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say. The Mekubalim say that he composed Tilim and he recited Tilim after Chatzos. So they say maybe it's not proper to recite Tilim before Chatzos. Maybe it's not proper to learn Torah Shemichsa before Chatzos. But the Gemara never says really that it's a Zman HaMesugal that the Tfilos will be answered. That's in the Zohar.
If one has only had one minion before Chatzos or Gedal B'Yechidus.
So it's better to say bichidus and leave out the yud gimel midas. That's a big machlokes achrayim. Whether the reciting of yud gimel midas has the status of a davish bikdusha. So they say that three nafkaminas, one nafkamina where they need a minion. Let's say someone's traveling by plane and he's saying slichas, and there is no minion on the plane. So we assume that we treat yud gimel midas like a davish bikdusha. So you need number one, you need a minion. Number two, you need a mida. Ashkenazim stand when they say it, when they said Dovish Bekdusha. And Sfardim usually sit, unless they happen to be standing anyway. Let's say they're saying Hallel. So then you say, the Chazan says, Chazi Kaddish after Hallel. So any Dovish Bekdusha, Topsa Ba'amida, they happen to be standing anyway, so they continue to stand. But they wouldn't stand for a regular, the Sfardim wouldn't stand for a regular Kaddish, because they hold that that's a misprint. Yerushalmi says that you need Amida. And the Magen Avraham quotes Arizal says that it's a Torah Sefer. So the Ashkenazim followed the Yerushalmi, that the Dovish Bikdusha needs Amida. And the Sfardim followed Arizal, says that the Yerushalmi is a Torah Sefer. But for Ashkenazim, we assume that there are three Nafkaminas in the assumption that Yud Gimel Midas is Dovish Bikdusha. Number one, you need a minion. Number two, you need Amida. And number three, you need Atifa. It's supposed to cover your head. Some say covering it. Some say you yotze with a yarmulke, others say you should put the talis over your head. You need atifa, the davish of Yikdusha. The Rama says the meaning is that you say Hashem the Bagadma three times at the end of the Slichas, except for Erev Yom Kippur, when there are two minhagim. So most of the world, the meaning is like the Rama says that you say brief Slichas on Erev Yom Kippur, only takes 20 minutes. And others have the meaning, they say twice as long. They say like Erev Rosh Hashanah, they say for 2 hours. They say a lot of slichas. The Bi'ur Agro explains what's the machlokes dependent on. But he say long slichas or short slichas, very short slichas. So he says the shaiva is that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk. And there's a machlokes whether the mitzvah to eat means we treat it a little bit like a yontif. So the question is, the mitzvah to eat, does it only begin in the daytime or does it even begin the night before Erev Yom Kippur? So if the mitzvah sachila begins even the night before, then it's a yontif, then you should say short slichas. Shouldn't be marv slichas. But if the mitzvah teeth only begins in the daytime, so then the night before is nishken yontif, so then as you come in closer to Yom Kippur, makes more sense to say the longest slichas. That's how the Bi'ur Agro says. There used to be a very, very colorful person lived in the neighborhood, Professor Levy, Professor Naftali Levy. He was a big kibbutzer, so he taught political science in Brooklyn College, I think. He learned in Torah V'Das. He used to work in Torah V'Das. And then when he told Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky that he's going to teach political science in Brooklyn College, so he said, Rabbi Yanke Kamenetsky said, of course, after working in Torah V'Das, you learn so much politics. You can be a professor in politics. Avada. So he was a riot. He was a riot. So he would have students who would ask him to give them a break because they're learning in yeshiva and they don't have time to study so much, so you should be easy on them on the final, on the term paper and everything. Oh yeah, what are you learning in the yeshiva? So if they said they're learning ksuvah, they would say, is there what part of ksuvah? They're learning the first part. Is there a mitzvah sachila on Erev Yom Kippur at night? So they would know. So you're not learning ksuvah. It's enough in a Rashi. So Rashi in the beginning of ksuvah. He's always like that. Very colorful fellow. Anyway, so in Shulchan the Rama says that Erev Yom Kippur, you only say Hashem the Beganda once, and the rest of the slichas we say three times. The Vilna Gaon is not happy with that. What he's saying, three times the same thing, Hashav Nemagad. He holds that you only say once Hashav Nemagad. So in the biographies of the Bali HaMusar and the Sefer Tinuas HaMusar, they quote that Rabbi Sol Salanta was very influenced by Rabbi Zundel Salanta, not a relative of his. But that he was known as Rabbi Zundel Salanta. So this Rabbi Zundel learned in Valozhin. He used to follow all the, in Valozhin, it was founded by Rabbi Chaim Valozhin, he used to follow all the hanhogas of the Vilna Goy. So this Nusach HaGran Davening, this Nusach he didn't follow. He said Oshavna Megadna three times. So they asked him, everything else you follow like the Gra, why don't you follow this? He said he's afraid to show the Rabbi Shlom that he's such a big knacker. He says, I'm going to follow the Gra, you're going to hold me to a higher standard. I'm going to have to be, they're going to judge me more strictly. So he said, he'd rather act like a plain balabast when it comes to the reciting the Vida. A lot of times the piyutim that you have in the slichas and the piyutim of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they're such difficult Hebrew. A lot of times people don't understand. So there's no sense in saying things if you don't understand them. So better is to say the English, say the other side, the English. Or if the Hebrew is not so bad and you can't understand it, but you have to go slowly, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Tov me'at b'kavona, me'at b'shaloi b'kavona. It's better to say less and know what you're talking about than to say so much and not know what you're talking about. Same thing with Hurachim on Thursday, Monday or Thursday. It's better to say half to Hurachim, say less for Hurachim. And know what you're talking about. Say it slowly, you know what you're talking about, rather than to say a lot. There used to be a famous, witty Rosh Yeshiva in New York, Rabbi Hutner, Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner. He was the head of the, he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. So he was very famous for his line. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Tov me'at b'kavana me'har b'shaloi b'kavana. So he said, Tov me'at shaloi b'kavana me'har b'shaloi b'kavana. If you're davening anyway, shaloi b'kavana. So it's better to say less. But he's saying so much, shaloi b'kavana. We should try to say a little bit b'kavana.
In Swedish, speech is much easier.
Hebrew is easier. The slichas that you say at the end, that's the easier part. That's from the days of the Tanaim. That's the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Tainus. That's more important than all the that's from the days of the Tanaim. So those are more important than the difficult Hebrew. The difficult Hebrew, the Pythonim in the Middle Ages, the Baal Yatosis composed those. So if you don't have time to say anything, you should really say the easier ones at the end.
You're in the middle of the
piyut,
you have to say all of Kelmelech, you have to say all of
Kelmelech,
or Hashem Hashem.
You can stop in the middle of the piyut and start saying Kelmelech Yosheva Kisirach. Or if you didn't stop in the middle, so you just answer when the chazan gets to Yud Gimel Meir, so you say that.
Which one's more of the chachila, if you're in the middle of the
piyut,
to say
I think it is. I think it's better to leave out the end of the piyut and say Kelmelech Yosheva Kisirach. But if you didn't, if you finished the piyut, then you can say the Yud Gimel Meir without saying Kela Melech Yeshev Kisei Rav.
Rebbe says you needed a minyan for Midos. If one's davening b'yachidus, is there? Somebody told me in Eitz, I think, or a Rari told me once that you could look at a chumash and like say it with the whole pasuk with the truck. Is that like an Eitz with following?
Yeah, but what do you need it for? Yotze without it also. Okay. This yeshiva is a combination, historically a combination of two different yeshivas. One was Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, and one was Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchok Hanan. Yeshiva Eitz Chaim is named after Valozhin. That was the name of Valozhin Yeshiva. So this yeshiva has very old traditions. So some of the traditions that they have, they follow Nusach Ashkenaz. They don't dub Nusach Sparti. Shira Malas is Nusach Sparti. Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't say Shira Malas and Aseres HaMeit Shuvah. Magen Avraham quotes that Rizal introduced your Amalas and he says he doesn't understand it. You're not allowed to be mafsik in between Birchas, in between Psukah de Zimra and Yotzeror. So Nusach Svar, they say Shir Amalas. And the Yeshiva, meaning Ashkenaz, they don't say Shir Amalas. Then in Valozhin, they followed, it was founded by Rabbi Chaim Valozhin, so he is quoted, just like there's a Sefer Maaseh Rav, the Hanhogas of the Vilna Gaon. That is a Sefer Shari Rachmim has all the Hanhogas of Rabbi Chaim Valozhin. A lot of them are identical with the Vilna Gaon, and others we don't know what the Vilna Gaon did. So they have there that he didn't say the piyutim at the end of the slichas machnisa harachmim, hachnisa tfiloseinu. I never say it, so I don't even remember what it says there. Because we usually assume machnisa harachmim talking to the angels, asking the angels to accept our prayers and to present them to the Rabban Shalom. Hachnisu rachmeinu, that's named Baal HaRachmim. So Rav Chaim Elojen said that it's not right to ask the angels to help us. You don't ask any assistance from the angels. We dumb directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Some Rishonim say not so. The Rashi and different Masechta says not so. But that's Rav Chaim Elojen insisted like that. That he got from the Vilna Gaon. And also on Leil Shabbos on Friday night, when you say Shalom Aleichem to the Malachim, they say Bayachem Nishalom. Say he believe that the third stanza Baruchinu Lishalom. Shouldn't ask the angels for any blessings. And there's a Mishnah that appears in Brachos that's repeated in Megillah. Same Mishnah. It says that certain things should not be said. So it says if you say Shema Shema Meshaskenos, if a person says Shema Yisrael more than once, it sounds as if it believes in more than one God. That's a common nigun that everybody Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then you say again, a third time, a fourth time, more than the Trinity. You say yeah, more than three times. So the Mishnah says Meshaskenos, he's supposed to scream that he shouldn't say that. So so the same Mishnah has other things that you shouldn't say. So it says, Omer, Yibarchu Chatovim, Shaskemose. Someone who says, the good people should bless you, you tell them you shouldn't say that. So what does it mean? So there are many different interpretations. So Rashi has one pshat that Yibarchu Chatovim, only those who ate Kedei Sviya should bless the Ribbono Shel Olam and say Birchas Hamazon. If he's still hungry, you shouldn't say Birchas Hamazon. So why is Mishaskemose? Because even though it's correct, Menatar, but the Rabbono, one who ate a kazayis of bread, even though he didn't have kedei sviya, is also obligated to bench men the rabban. Then Rashi, I think, has another pshat. Only tzaddikim should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rishayim have no right to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Only Baruch Hu Chatoiv. But then there's another pshat. The Meiri quotes, I think, six pshat. These are two of the six. The Meiri quotes another pshat. Baruch Hu Chatoivim. Not Baruch Hu Chatoiv, the Ribbono Shel Olam. The tovim should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The good angels should bless you. He say to a chavero, Meshaskenos, he's not allowed to ask the angels to give any blessings at all. So that's what Chasam Seif and the Tshuva also writes, that by the time you get to the end of the Slichas, Chazan is usually ahead of me. That's what he writes. And I can't say everything, so I have to leave something out anyway. He says he always leaves out Machnisei HaRachmim. Because of this taina, that even though Rashi and some Rishonim say it's okay, but others say it's not right. So he always used to leave it out. Also, the quote from Rav Chaim Elojen, others say Machnis Rachim goes on the Shliach Tzibur. We're asking the Chazan, daven well on behalf of the Tzibur. The Chazan is the Machnis Rachim, not the angels.
Isn't there one year something that says that the reason that we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried is because Klal Yisrael will go and daven to Moshe and ask him to daven to Hashem to end all this? So there it is. Seems to be a gemara that you're allowed to
have
to Moshe Rabbeinu, not even
to Moshe
Rabbeinu,
to
ask for help to
ask you should not. The reason why nobody knows where he's buried, you should not go, he asked him. Out there up. I don't know. There are a lot of kashas. I don't know.
I know some people say Machnis Rachim Yachnis with a yud instead of it being a bakasha.
I don't know. But here in the yeshiva, I think once a year someone always announces. We don't say that part. But when you have a piyut that says.
There is in the Yila, there's Midas Rachamim, like Alain Riskalvili.
Right, that also. Rav Chaim Elojen said you shouldn't say that. Shouldn't speak to Midas HaRachmim, that the Midas HaRachmim should intervene on our behalf by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rav Soloveitchik had them change the Nusach. Instead of saying Midas HaRachmim, Aleinu Hisgalgali, try to intervene on our behalf, so he had the Chazan say, they said, Galgal Aleinu Midas Rachamecha. We talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, instead of talking to the Midas HaRachmim. But in another place, they just leave out that stanza. They leave out, you start to, or... you can leave out. All the slichas that we say leading up to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu the secret of the Yud Gimel Midas. That was on Yom Kippur. That's why Yom Kippur is Nikva as a Yom Mechilo Slichas. On Yom Kippur we certainly should say slichas. So it's a pellet. In many of the machzorim they left out all the slichas. So Dorach HaShulchan writes they left it out because they wanted you, they wanted the printers decided they didn't consult any rabban. They wanted to charge the same price for the machzer and save money by saving 75 pages. So he says it's not right. Rav Soloveitchik also said it's not right. They should reintroduce the slichas on Yom Kippur. We say, in all shows, the slichas by Ma'ariv. There's no chazaras hashat. But Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, Nil also we say, everybody says all the slichas. But Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and most of the shows, they leave out the slichas. Rav Soloveitchik said that it's not right. We should all follow that Aruch HaShulchan, that you really should say the slichas. Leave out other things. Leave out some of the piyutim. They say that they have in Tinuas Amusa, they say they once asked Rabbi Sol Salanta, there wasn't enough time to say all the piyutim. So they had to decide which piyutim to say. So they asked them, which one should they say, which one should they leave out? So they said, the long ones that the Chazan just says the last line, that's the one they should say, because the Chazan is exhausted. Don't make the Chazan say those, but they keep on repeating the refrain and the stanza. Chazan is exhausted on Yom Kippur. So say the long list, he only has to work at the end. Yeah, we all assume, the Mishnah assumes that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. Yeah, where did they get this from? It never says in Chumash anywhere. It never says in Tanakh, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. So the Ramban writes in his Drasha that this was an oral tradition from the days of Adam Rishon, that the day that he was created, he was instructed not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he violated the prohibition after a few hours, and then he was judged and punished on that day. And the Baruch Shalom told him, just like I'm judging you today, so to the future I will judge all of your descendants. They quote from the Vilna Gaon that the minhag is that you don't eat grapes on Rosh Hashanah. So they say that there's a reason, al pi sod. What's the reason, al pi sod? So Rav Soloveitchik said, but that's what they printed at Maisa Rav, they have this. The commentaries explain that there are different opinions in the Medrash, what was the fruit of the Eitz Hadas that they sinned with. Was it Esrog? Was it Chito? Different opinions. So one opinion is that it was a grapes. What's up as grapes? Because from grapes you make wine. In the history books, they think that wine was all the way from the days of Adam Rishon. They think the institution of the ability to make wine is not something that was discovered in recent years, that it's almost 6,000 years old. So they say that wine causes people to get drunk, and then you do averus. So grapes bring gilola loilum, that brought all the curses to the world, people get drunk. So it must be, that's what one time said, it must be that the Eitz Hadas was grapes. So since Rosh Hashanah was the day on which he sinned by eating the grapes, so we should avoid eating grapes on Rosh Hashanah. We shouldn't look for trouble. In some Kabbalah Swarm they write, that's why the Chachamim introduced the Takana to recite Kiddush al Hayayin on Friday night to make a tikkun for the chet of the Eitz Hadas. The other Marishan sinned with the grapes, and we do a mitzvah on Friday night. We do a mitzvah, we recite Kiddush, and we don't get drunk. We're careful. Some people are not careful. Should be careful not to get drunk. Yeah.
We shouldn't eat wheat or anything else either, or wine.
You do what?
We shouldn't have wheat or any of the other things that we're making.
I don't know. The Gro only said the minig is on the grapes. The others, you don't have the minig not to eat.
Can one use grape juice instead of wine?
Grape juice instead of wine. The first Pesach who said that grape juice is acceptable was Louis Ginsberg from the Jewish Theological Seminary during the Prohibition years. It was against the federal law to make alcoholic beverages in America, unless you needed it for sacramental purposes. So the Jews said, we need wine for Kiddush and Abdullah. And Abakos said, he masseh to the federal government that we don't need wine. We can say Kiddush and Abdullah and Abakos on grape juice as well. So at that time, that was quite a while ago. So at that time, many Rabbanim disagreed with him, and they called him the Rosh HaKaroim, because he was the Jewish Theological Seminary. He writes on his books, he writes on the first page, Dor Shmini LaHagro. He's very proud of the fact that he's an eighth generation descendant from the Vilna Gaon. But he used to sit in Lam Gemara, Begilei Rosh. He learned in Slabodka, but he used to sit in Lam Gemara. That's not what they did in Slabodka. They didn't learn Begilei Rosh. I wasn't there, but I understand that they didn't learn Begilei Rosh. He was a character, putting it mildly. So many Gdolim disagreed with him. They called him the Rosh HaKaroi, Mekereshein HaMesacher, Kerach, Shein Misach is with an ayin, Karoim is with an aleph. And they disagreed with him. They said that there is an opinion in Poskim that grape juice is shahakol, and grape juice is only good for Kiddush. The Gemara says, if you get stuck, you don't have wine, so take a cluster of grapes, squeeze it out. Rashi says, on Erev Shabbos, not on Shabbos. Not allowed to squeeze out the grapes on Shabbos. Squeeze it out on Erev Shabbos, and that's the grape juice. So there are Poskim hold that that's good for Kiddush, because if you would let it sit, it would ferment by itself. But if you treated the grape juice chemically and you cooked it in such a way that if you just let it sit, it will not turn into, it will not ferment on its own. You have to add something else to cause it to ferment. But me'elav, it's not, it'll spoil, but it won't ferment. So then there were many poskim held that it's not bar piagof and can use it for kiddush and avdol. And even if you can, so Reb Shlomo Zalman Reibach said he's not sure whether he say ala gefen, not sure whether he say bar piagofen on it in the middle of a meal. I mean, maybe it's only if you're drinking it separately. He wasn't so sure what the din of the grape juice was. But before Abshalom Azama came on the scene, there are many held that grape juice, Rav Henkin, was way before, and others, there's a Knesset Sagdala like that, others were not happy about the grape juice. There was a Talmud Chacham who was a rabbi in, I think, New Haven, I forgot his name, Horowitz. He put out the Sefer HaMitzvos LaRambam with footnotes, Mar Mekaymus on the bottom of the page, which are usually insignificant. Whoever's learning Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, the Maram Kama doesn't say anything too important, but every 50 pages goes off on a tangent and he has a whole tirade about something. So one of his tirades is about this, the Rosh HaKaraim, about Louis Ginsberg. He doesn't even want to say him by name. He just calls him the Rosh HaKaraim. And he holds that it's shahakal. He holds that it's not acceptable. He really shouldn't use grape juice. It's not right. Perhaps Soloveitchik, at the end of his life, when he was old and sick and falling apart, so then he says he used to use grape juice. And then he said, if you hold the grape juice is good, so Pesach night for the Abakaisis, the Gemara says, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, should be shti areva, should be a pleasant tasting drink. So if you enjoy grape juice better than wine, because it's gonna affect him negatively if he's going to drink wine, he's going to eat grape juice as easy, so then you should have the shti areva, you should have the pleasant one, namely the grape juice as opposed to the wine, if you hold that it's acceptable. If you hold it's not acceptable, it's not acceptable. Now, so Leitchin was old, so he used to use grape juice for Abakaisis and for Kiddush. But he said himself, it's highly questionable.
So yeah. Halacha might say, if a person is at the child's table and he only has grape juice, or maybe make Kiddush on the challah.
Grape juice was accepted because of Moshe Feinstein, not because Louis Ginsberg said, because Moshe Feinstein agreed with Louis Ginsberg. So that's why the Orthodox accepted it. But even after Moshe said, there was still not everybody went along with him. It's questionable. No, the meaning is that everybody follows our Moshe, so you can say Kiddush on grape juice. But if wine is available, you should say over wine. Yeah.
Is there a makor for a Rosh Hashanah from Iyom? How it says that Iyom and the Satan will come to report on the that uses a makor for Rosh Hashanah?
The tradition has it that Iyom was Rosh Hashanah, but it doesn't really say it. It doesn't really say it. Yeah, yeah. On the first night, on Leil Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says, if a person forgets Yalav Yavai in Shmoneh Esrei, he has to daven over again, Rosh Chodesh Chalamai. The Gemara says, there's one exception to the rule, Ma'ariv on Rosh Chodesh, if one forgets Yalav Yavai, you don't have to daven over, whether it's one day Rosh Chodesh or 2 days Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says, it doesn't make a difference. There was one opinion that it doesn't make a difference, that we pass on like the Maskanos and Gemara, it doesn't make a difference. You never repeat the Shmoneh Esrei because you forgot Yalav Yavai on Leil Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? Or it gives an explanation. I'm not sure exactly what it means. We don't understand what it means because it's printed in the calendar. We know when Rosh Chodesh is. What is the suffix when Rosh Chodesh is? We don't rely on Kiddush Al Pi Ariya. It's Kiddush Al Pi Acheshbon. And when the Beis Din is going to make it, Rosh Chodesh is going to become Rosh Chodesh Mila Mafre. It's not just going to become Rosh Chodesh Mikan Labo. So it's not exactly clear what it means in the Gemara, but that's what it says in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik once used to have Yahrzeit on Gimel Shvat every year. He used to give a big shiur, 4-hour shiur on his father's Yahrzeit. The first 2 hours was a shiur in Halacha, and the next 2 hours was a drasha, shiur in Agoda. So that shiur was a different style from all year long. All year long he gave up lot shiur, he learned the Gemara. The Yahrzeit drasha, he presented it, started off with around 4 or 5 kashas, and he worded the kashas in such a way, nobody can answer these kashas. He presented the kashas so sharply, The Rebbe Shalom can't answer these kashas. And then he would quote a Gemara and another Gemara, and everything would fall apart. And all the kashas just fell apart by themselves. And he used to send out, he used to, yeshiva send out in advance all the marmakaimas. And then as the yahrzeit came closer, he would give more marmakaimas. A daily yahrzeit, he would give more marmakaimas. Hundreds of people would come in from out of town. They would fly in from out of town in order to attend the yahrzeit rosh. So every year is a different topic. So one year this was the topic. This, the Chayyadim quotes in the name of the Dayan, Rababala Pasvela. Pasvel was like a borough park, Flatbush. It was a section on the outskirts of Vilna. So Rababala Pasvela was a Dayan during the lifetime in Vilna, during the lifetime of the Chayyadim. Chayyadim was overlapped with the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon died. He refers to the Vilna Gaon as his Mechutin. Wasn't exactly, he was a Mechutna, but one of the sons of the Vilna Gaon, but it sounds better. Say Mechutoni Hagro. So so the Chayyadim quotes a couple of times in his sefer, every 75 pages he quotes Rababla Pasvel. So he quotes over here this psak. Since Leil Rosh Hashanah, Eim Kachan Sachaydish, Balayla, you don't make it Rosh Chodesh till tomorrow morning, so just like if you would have forgotten the Alavi Yav HaMayrev, you wouldn't have to repeat the Shemana Esrei. If he got a Melech HaKodesh and said HaKel HaKodesh the first night of Hashanah, you don't have to daven over again. That's the Psak of the Chayyadim that he quotes. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole Yahrzeit Rasha to explain why he doesn't agree. So the Beis HaLevi, Rav Soloveitchik was named after his great-grandfather, Beis HaLevi has in his Jubilees, he doesn't agree. He said, if you would have davened the Vochadik Hashmona Esrei on Leil Rosh Hashanah, I would understand. Eim Kashan Tzachodesh Balayla. But you did say a weekday Hashmona Esrei. He said, V'chein Teipach Techo. And you said Yalav Yava B'yam Azikoren, and you said Mekadosh Yisrael B'yam Azikoren. Everything else was Rosh Hashanah. Just this line, you said Akel Hakadosh Stela B'Amerech Hakadosh. So it's Stira Menei Bay. You did say the Rosh Hashanah Dikashmana Esrei, and you made a mistake over here. That's what the Beis Halevi taught us. So Rav Soloveitchik gave a whole Shir Makif, explaining more Bariches why he doesn't agree with the Psak of Rababala Pasvela. Somebody collected all the psokim of Rababala Pasvela from all over. They put out a big fat book that's called Nascheh Rababa. Nascheh Rababa. Nascheh is a chunk of gold, a chunk of silver. So they put, they had a liquid, they had a bimbalakim, because he doesn't have too much himself. So they put everything together. So that's a question whether that's correct or not. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, he thinks that din is like the Chayyadim Mitam Acher. He says the reason why we're so insistent on changing the Nusach HaBrach and Melech HaKadosh because Melech Yosha B'Mishpat, the Rebbe Shalom judges the world and Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. And the Mishpat only begins by Yom. The Mishpat doesn't begin by Lama. So if you got a Melech HaKadosh, he thinks you don't have to daven over for that reason.
That there was second night also? Because the Mishpat already started the day before. The
Mishpat already started. I don't think so. I think it's only the first night. I think it's only the first night. Should be the second night also. Could be. Should be the second night also. If a person is Mesupik, whether it's a Melech HaKadosh, Al Kel HaKadosh, and Shulchan Aruch, we assume that he probably said the way he's ruggled to say all year long, probably said Al Kel HaKadosh, and that he has to repeat the Shemana Esrei, right? Because the Rav is, the likelihood is that he said Al Kel HaKadosh, like he's ruggled to say. So this is Sefer Galya Masechta. Gai Masechta is a tshuva sefer. The first half is tshuvas, and the second half is drushes and hespedim. He delivered a famous hesped for Rab Chaim Balozhina. He was a little bar plukta. He had tainus against Rab Chaim Balozhina. Then he realized that his tainus were incorrect, and he delivered a very beautiful hesped when he passed away. He recognized him that he was right against him. So the Gai Masechta has a tshuva about this. That he works on this kasha. Why does the Gemara have? Why does the Shulchan Aruch have to say that he probably said Akel HaKadosh? Because he says the way he's ruggled to say, even if it's a 50-50 suffik and there's no rov, the Gemara says suffik his palo suffik but his palo choizem his palo because halavashi his palo and kol hayom kulei. So why do you have to come on to the rov that he probably said wrong? That's his kasha. So one could have answered. Alavashi is Palam Kalam Kulam is that there is an institution of Tfilas Nadova. Not allowed to offer Tfilas Nadova Shabbos and Yontif. That's what it says in Rambam. Not allowed to offer Tfilas Shulchan Aruch. Just like you're not allowed to bring a Korban Nadova. You're not allowed to bring a Nadova on Shabbos and Yontif. Only Chalamad you're allowed to bring. But you're not allowed to bring a Korban Nadova on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a Malacha. So even though Dabani is not a Malacha, But the tefillas nedava is supposed to be corresponded to karbanas nedava. So you're not allowed to offer a tefillas nedava on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So one could have said maybe sofik hispala sofik lo hispala chayzim hispala doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom Tov. He doesn't answer that. He gives a different answer.
Maybe he's talking about
Okay. Correct. So he gives a more fundamental answer. He says sofik hispala sofik. He quotes a tshuvas harashbo. It says explicitly. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is in the Mishnah Brura also, but people don't know this. Doesn't mean you're obligated to repeat the davening. It's a recommendation and it's a teva. Because tefillah is only the rabbanon. You're not mechuyev to daven over again. However, you may as well be zavah to offer a tefillah nedava. So here it says, here you're mechuyev to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Because it's not a sofik ashokal here, so you can't say sveka d'rabban l'kila. Here the likelihood is that he probably said the way he's rokal to say all year long. The likelihood is that he said akela gadish instead of amelacha gadish, so he does have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So that's an interesting shuvas harashba. If I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it also. The sofik is palo, the sofik lo is palo. Choizem is palo doesn't mean that you're obligated to repeat the doubt. It means you're permitted to. You may as well, why not? Tanei tzatayba, repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. But strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to. But in the case of Al-Kel HaKadosh, you would be mechuyev to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Chayodim has a few hagoyes on the nusach of the davening. He quotes from the Rekech how many letters there are supposed to be in every part of the davening. He says, Zorchen al-Chaim, al-Chavetz b'chaim. We usually say, V'chos v'enem b'seif ha-chayim, and man chalakim chayim. So he says, based on the Rekech, there are two extra letters there, so you have to throw two letters out. So he says, you should say, instead of Vichosvenu, he said, Kosvenu b'sefer chayim, instead of hachayim. He throws out the vav of Vichosvenu, throws out the he of sefer hachayim. He has a lot of kbedas, all based on Kabbalah, so how many letters there's supposed to be in every tefillah. Then he has Kolarisha Kula Bioshan Tichla. He thinks that Kioshan is a mistake. He thinks the more correct is to say Bioshan Tichla, even though there is a Loshan in Tanakh also. Kioshan. But he thinks more correct is Bioshan. At the end of Nusach Svar, it does not change the Nusach Abracha for Abrachas Hamisol Basholim. Seres Meitshuva, they don't change it. Nusach Ashkenaz changes it. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that's not right. The Gemara never said you should change the Nusach HaBrocha. The work communities were all year long, they said, Oysa HaShalom. But we don't have that practice. We send Baruchas HaMizah HaShalom, so you should say it even Aseres Mei Tshuva also. Shouldn't change the Nusach HaBrocha. The same thing when you duchen. So the minig in many places is that instead of saying Hamach Zeh Shkinos HaLitzit, you say Shaos Cholavah. You change it. So they quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner from the Vilna Gaon, it's not right. The Gemara never says he should change the Nusach HaBrocha. He should leave it the same. Amach zeh shchinos haletziyot. This also determines how you're going to end off. So if you're going to end off Shos Chalavat Chabira Naba, then you say Pesach Zayin Einenu B'Sham Lavod Chabira. But if you're going to end off Amach Zeh Shchinos HaLetzion, then you should say Psechzera after Sham Lavod Chabir. Should always say Samach LaChasima Mehein HaChasima. So you have to make up your mind in advance. What's the Chasima going to be? If the Chasima is going to be Amach Zeh Shchinos HaLetzion, then you should say Psechzera right before the Chasima. If you're going to say Shos Chalavat Chabir Anabai, then you should say B'Sham Lavotcha after V'Secha Zena. There were a few years that I was the Bal Tefillah for Musaf here in the Yeshiva on Shavuos, because the boys stayed up all night, and Shachris, they were half asleep, and Musaf, they were three quarters asleep. So I was a little less asleep than they were, so they asked me to daven Musaf a couple of years. So I remember I used to say Hamach Zeh Shchinos HaLetzion, because that was the minig in the Lithuanian yeshivas. They didn't follow everything from the Vilna Gaon, but some of the things they did. So this is basically this yeshiva is a carryover from the traditions of Volozhin. So I said the Nusach HaGros after Musaf, Rabbi Lipschitz We walk by the wish of good Yom Tov, so he would tell me in Yiddish, a double Yashkach, Yashkach for Andavidin, Yashkach for saying Hamach Zeshchen Asalitzia, because that was the meaning in Europe, in the Yeshiva, in the Lithuanian Yeshivas. I got it ready. The Chayyadim has on that also. Chayyadim, I think, has Shultan Lufanach. I think a comet. And I think he likes Shultan. He thinks it should be on Shultan Lufanach. On Leil Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara has a meaning that you have Simon, even though there's an Isra Nichush. Not allowed to do mumbo jumbo magic things. But even though we're not allowed to do nichush, but simonim is permissible to eat a fruit. And what is that all about? Why isn't that a nichush? Just because you're going to dip your challah in honey, that means you're sure to have a sweet year. Why? So several of the mefarshim explain. I saw it in the Nesivos Sefer, but apparently it says the Nesivos on Chayshim Mishpat has a sefer on Chumash. He was a rabbi. He gave sermons in shul. So he printed the Nachlas Yaakov. He has it in Nachlas Yaakov, and apparently the Maharal of Prague has, and others write the same, that the ikar of the siman really is the tefillah. You have to offer the prayer. And so what do you need? You offer a prayer, so what do you need dipping into the honey for? So they all quote the same. The Ramban HaChumash writes that just like there are two types of nevuah, there's a nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi what's in store in the future, and sometimes Baruch Hu tells the Navi to act something out in pantomime. He should go to sleep on his left side. He should eat a disgusting piece of challah. He should take two branches, hold them together, whatever. He should act something out and to demonstrate what's in store in the future. So that's considered a stronger nevuah. That's how the Ramban explains on Chumash. If you have a nevuah with a poel dimyon, the Ramban coins an expression, poel dimyon, you act it out, then it's considered a stronger nevuah. The Hainu, that a nevuah, the Ra, the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, and the Ramban quotes in Hilchos Yisrei Atar, when he talks about Nevi'im, Nevuah. So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, and Nevuah the Ra is always understood that it's Allah Tanai. If the people do tshuva, Nevuah the Ra will not occur. But if it's, let's say, Urim V'Tumim, that's not Allah Tanai. Urim V'Tumim, that's Kursim Devreim. Crazy place, Kursim Devreim, that's it. That's a higher level of Nevuah. So the Ramban thinks that a Nevuah with a Pol Dimya means it's going to be Al Kalpanim. That's it. It's going to take place. It's a stronger, higher level of Nevuah. So that's what these Achrayim suggest, and maybe a tefillah with a poel dimyon is considered a stronger tefillah. So the ikar really of the simanim is to say the yiratzim. You have to say the tefillah yiratzim alfanach. When do you say the yiratzim? So a lot of people say the yiratzim. They say motzi lech min haaretz, and they dip the challah yiratzim alfanach. Shtahash lein shana tov mesukim between the hamotzi and the eating it. So most of the post can assume that that's a hefsik. You're not allowed to talk in between the birchas anenin and the eating of the food. So when do you say, yeah, you say the Yiratzin, after you ate it already?
You say you after the meal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a reason you can't do it before saying the bracha?
You can say before the bracha. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank has a discussion. Is it okay if you say before? Yeah. Either before you say the bracha or after you swallow it already. The Gemara in Erevin Daf Mem on Beis has a sophic whether you say Shachianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur when you say Kiddush. So the Gemara says, what's the Shaila? What did we do last year? Nobody remembers what we did last year. Nobody remembers what we did last week. What did you do last week? I remember once, I don't know why, I went to the, I remember whether I was single or married. I went to the high school dorm to hear Havdalah once on Matzoy Shabbos. So the guy was saying, I don't know why he was saying in the dorm. I remember the whole background. So he said, Havdalah, he gave him a seat, he said, better pick up and started drinking the wine. Got to say, summon him in there in Havdalah, and then you drink the wine. He never saw Havdalah in his life before. He said, better pick up and start drinking the wine. So then the Gemara asked the question, what do you mean when they say Shachyan? What did you do last year, Rosh Hashanah? You don't remember? Gemara says, Avada, we said Shachyan last year. We're just Mesupik, is it Rishus or is it a Chayva? A Pesach Shvosukis, it's a Chayva to recite Shachyan. The Gemara says, Amra Fila Bashuk, it doesn't really have to be recited in the context of the Kiddush. You can say it while you're walking in the street also, but if you say the Shachyan, at the end of the Kiddush, you enhance the Hashibas of the Shekhyonu, because it'll be recited ala kos. A bracha ala kos is more elegant than it's a toast. More elegant than a bracha shalom ala kos. So the Gemara has a suffix. What about Shekhyonu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is it a chayv or is it a rishus? Yeah, what's the suffix? What's the nekudas ha-suffix? So one of the Rishonim there, most of the Rishonim don't explain anything. One of the Rishonim says, that's the suffix. Is there a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? And then the maskana is, yes, it's a chayva. There is a chi of simcha. Shekhyonu is recited on a yontif when there's a chi of simcha. Rav Soloveitchik always used to, every so often, he would discuss this topic. Is there a chi of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Shagasari has a simcha. Is there a chi of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rav Soloveitchik always would say the same thing. He wouldn't quote from the Shekhyonu, because he didn't have that rishon. It was printed recently. So he would say, it's a mishnah in Moed Katan. Is it then if a person is in Avelus, Shiva, Shloshim, and then it comes Yantav, so Yantav cancels the Shiva, Yantav cancels the Shloshim, whatever one is up to. Why? So Tosis quotes Yerushalmi that Yantav is a Chiv Simcha, and Avelus and Simcha is a tie to this Asher. But Shabbos, there's no Chiv Simcha, that's why Shabbos does not cancel Avelus. Shabbos counts as one of the days of Shiva, Shabbos Oila, the Einam Avsekis. So there's a Machlekzis HaTanaim, and the Mishnah and the third parak in Moed Katan, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Kirigolim or not. Does it have a chiyuv simcha? Does it cancel shiva? Does it cancel shloshim? So the psak and the gemara is, the halacha is that yes, halacha k'rabbi Gamliel, that it does cancel. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's it. So the favorite psak, that there is a chiyuv simcha. Doesn't really prove it conclusively. That's how Rav Soloveitchik said. It doesn't really prove conclusively, because we usually have a kalach halachik d'ramekal ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machloikis, even if we really don't paskin like that, but it's considered a suffik koldu, so whenever that issue is negeta avelus, then you go to Kula. So it could really be that we paskin that there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but since there was such an opinion in the days of the Tanaim, so we go to Hakol that it cancels Avelus. No, but these Rishonim say that this was the Gemara's deal when they say Shekhyonu, and we do paskin that there is a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So they used to quote the Rosh in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. I think it's Simon Dalet. But usually in the Rosh they're kind, so they break it up into paragraphs. Here they Simon Dalet goes on and on and on for three pages. So it's not fair. So at the very end of Rosh Hashanah, so the gigantic Rosh, so the Rosh has Chilufe Minhagim, where they say, but you know, okay, and Adam Simcha Chag Mezman Malasasan, it's Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. Do you say that point? It's just, but you know, okay, it's Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. So many communities, they said, Adam Simcha, Chag of Zman, Malasas. And others, they didn't say. So that's perhaps that's the deal, whether there is a Chiyuv Simcha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not.
Wasn't there a Minhag Gaon fast?
Right, so the Rosh quote said, the Minhag Gaon, there were different opinions. Some hold you're allowed to fast even on Shabbos Shuvah. Some hold, no, Shabbos Shuvah, you're not allowed to fast, but Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to fast. Somehow, the first day Rosh Hashanah is the Raisi, not allowed to fast. Second day Rosh Hashanah, you may fast. Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'chol Yemei Fest, Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos Yenam Lada Fest, the Rosh quotes all the whole gamut of all of the Minhag. So that, the Rosh quotes it in that context. When he discusses the Yisei Madam Simcha Chag Mizman Masasan is a Chiyuv Simcha Rosh Hashanah, so that's the Shaila whether you're Lada Fest or not. We Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, they accept that opinion, not Lada Fest, but we rely on the Post Mahol Yerah Lada Fest, but again too, the Balei HaTosfos came up with a chumer that's quoted in the Hilchos Kiddush, that you should make sure that you start eating on Shabbos and Yom Tov before Chatzos. Because even though you weren't mekabel tainus, but if you fast the left of Chatzos, that's considered a violation of Emes Hanah b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov. So even though we paskin, you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but we rely on those paskin, we finish, we say so many piyutim, we don't get to go home until after Chatzos. You don't begin to start eating till after Chatzos. So some people are careful, they take a drink of water before davening. There's also machlokes that say you're allowed to drink water before you daven, not allowed to eat before you daven. So we're mekel on that. You're allowed to drink water. And others say no, Shulchan Aruch, the Achronim say that we rely on the Shitas HaGadim with respect to this extent, that even though we don't allow tainus on Rosh Hashanah, but we're not mechuyev to be so medactic that you should make Kiddush before Chatzos. The Vilna Gaon is quoted, Maaser Rav, he held, you got to make Kiddush before Chatzos. He didn't want to be lied. That's very simple. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon, the children of the Gra quote in the Hagdama to the Bir HaGra, that their father told them they has Achrois on every single machlokes rishonim. He has achrois based on raya's brurus ben hagemara raya shein aleim tshuva. So most of the achrayim usually say we're not so 100% convinced what the din is. We follow the consensus. So let's say we say you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but in the back of our mind we know that there were goyim who hold that you are allowed to fast. So we say mitzar of shittas with respect to fasting till after chatzos. You want mekabel tainus, so that's only a chumra. So on Rosh Hashanah we're mekel. The Vilna Gaon held there's nothing to be mekel about. He held they're wrong and they're wrong. There's nothing to be mitzar of any shittas. They quote Rav Chaim Volozhin has a tshuva. This is Sefer Chut HaMeshulash. As the tshuvas, the first has three sections. Chut HaMeshulash, the first section are tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhin, and then the second and the third sections are tshuvas by the sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin. One is Rav Hillel, I don't know his last name. And one is Rablazer Yitzchak. They called him Rablazer Yitzchak. Nobody ever reads those parts. They only read the first third. Rab Chaim Olozhin is Chuvas. So in one of the Chuvas, he has a famous line that they quote in history books from the Chuva Rab Chaim Olozhin. The Vilna Gaon told me, should never be Mitzar of Shittas. Whatever the din is, on the normal circumstance, it's a din b'shas hadchak also. If it's wrong, it's wrong. There's nothing to rely on. That's because the Gra was the Gra. He held that he had Rais Berush and Alem Chuvas. So there's nothing to be mitzarif. You can't be mitzarif anything. But Chacham Avad is always mitzarif shittas, and other poskim always mitzarif shittas. We're not so convinced that the hachra that we have is 100% correct. So we always say b'shas hadchak, you can rely on this and mitzarif it to create a svek svek. So that's usually the practice. So we're not so worried.
What did the Gra do? He drank before davening, or he used to finish before
chatzais? No, he finished before chatzais. That's what they quote. Yeah, he started earlier. Way before Chatzai. He finished way before Chatzai. He said, Broyers, they finished way before Chatzai. That's a question. In the yeshivas, they introduced that practice that they daven slowly and they don't finish davening Musaf till doomsday. So you're fasting till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they introduced that you make Kiddush before Tki. So there used to be a prominent rabbi here before Rabbi Moshe came on the scene. Rabbi Henkin was the Poisik in New York. So Rabbi Henkin was older than all the others. So he used to, whatever he would meet Rabbi Aaron Kotler before Rosh Hashanah, meet the other Rabbanim, he was older than them. So he said, make sure you don't make Kiddush before Tekiyas. Because there's a Mishnah in Sukkot that you're not allowed to eat before you shake a lulav. Any mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat before you do the mitzvah. Because you may forget to perform the mitzvah. So he used to say, it's not right that the yeshivas, they say Kiddush. They shouldn't. Here in the yeshiva, they used to say Kiddush. We used to daven in the old Beis Medrash. This building didn't exist. Till he walked to the cafeteria, till he walked back, until he gave everybody a piece of cake. So it took at least 45 minutes. So the davening, they used to start davening Rosh Hashanah at 8:30, and then they finished, and because of the Kiddush, they finished at 3 o'clock. So they finally did away with the Kiddush, and they decided to daven instead of 8:30, 7:30 or 7. I don't know what time, I forgot already what time they daven. And they finished at a more reasonable time. Mikra din, it's probably mutter to say Kiddush before the Tkiyas, because it's not really a meal, it's only te'ima. The Mikra din te'ima is really mutter. To sit down and have a whole full-blown meal, so that's taka against the din.
Do I rely on, like, Maghrib every night to, like, eat dinner before Maghrib and stuff? Like,
what's that they're relying on? Shvera to eat before Maghrib is a difficult... I remember when I was a Talmud in Yeshiva, Rabban Lichtenstein showed us the Be'er Sheva and the end of the Sefer Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva was a Talmud of the Levush, I think, or something like that. So at the end of the Sefer, he has Esrim Geira, I think it's called, 20 practices that he opposes. So the Magen Avraham quotes every so often from the Esrim Geira. So one of them was that you rely on a Shomer to eat before Ma'ariv. So he says, Abrach Abba boy, who said the Shomer's not going to forget to tell you. He's opposed to that. He says it's not right. You shouldn't even have a mini kavua. It's not right. You should really daven Ma'ariv before. It's not really that.
When I went to Telson, I told my father that they had te'ima before Musaf. He couldn't believe me.
Whoever heard of that? Yeah. Whoever heard of such a thing. So Rav Henkin used to say, he said, you're not allowed to have Kiddush before Tkiyas. If you're starving, so have Kiddush in between the Kiyas, the Miyushav, and Musaf. So we're makpid not to talk. The Rif quotes on God, you're not allowed to talk from the time you say the Bracha, the Shema, Kol Shofar, till the end of the whole Kiyas. So the Rishonim say that the Balamor and the Ramban, they say that's really all Rechum and Meikar, and then maybe we're allowed to talk. So Rav Henkin said, this is better, this is a better Eitzah than that. So his opinion was never listened to. It was always assumed that Meikar Edin Teim, I think Rav Moshe, what's his name? Sternbuch, has an essay in one of his Svarim about that. Meikar Edin Teim is Mutter before before Tkiyah Shofar.
Is that called fasting if the person is not planning to fast, is not the Kabbalah any kind, it just happens to be that by the time he gets home, it's difficult.
Right, so that's in Hilchot Shabbos. By Kiddush, they quote that's a Chumrah from the Balei HaTosfos. Even though you might have a Mekabel Tainus and you're not interested in fasting, but it turned out that you didn't need to left the Chatzai, so that's not right. But it's a Chumra. So that's why we say in Rosh Hashanah, we're not Mechuyev to be Machmer on that. Exactly. Yes, so because there was such an opinion in the days of the Gaonim that you're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, we don't follow that opinion. There is such an opinion. So that's why some of the Poskim say if a person benches on Rosh Hashanah, and he forgot to say Yalla B'Yav, he doesn't have to repeat the benching. Because Tosfos in Brachas has a Sofek, and maybe you can be Yotzei Shalashudas without pas, maybe you don't have to wash. So if you can be Yotzei Shalashudas by just having some gefilte fish, a piece of herring, whatever, you're not going to say Ritzei in Bar Nefashos. So even if you had bread, and he forgot Ritzei, you can't say that he has to bench over again. He could have had Shalashudas without benching Brachas HaMazon, but just saying Bar Nefashos. So that's why we pass on like that. If one forgot to say Ritzei, after Shalashudas, because there is an opinion that you can be Yotze with many Targima, so you don't have to bench over. So that's what the later Poskim say, that since the Shita Sagayin was that it's permissible to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so even though we don't fast and we do eat, if you bench, if you got Yalav Yavai, you wouldn't have to repeat the Birchas Hamas. So then the later Poskim say, that's only Rosh Hashanah Bayom, because Rosh Hashanah Bayom is when the Din is. But Leil Rosh Hashanah, where there's no Din, so everybody agrees that you should eat. Because on Rosh Hashanah there's Chiyuv Simcha. Chiyuv Simcha means you have to have Kibud V'Yoyding, you have to have a Suda. So if one forgot Yalav V'Yovah Leil Rosh Hashanah and the Birchas HaMazon, he would have to repeat the benching. This whole kul is only Bayoyim. Bayoyim of Rosh Hashanah when it's the Din. So then the Goyim are of the opinion that it's permissible to face. I don't know. It's an interesting question. That could be. Yeah. Could be. Second night, Rosh Hashanah is a big machlokes. The rush there at the end of Rosh Hashanah, all in Siman Dalet, should have been a separate paragraph. There are many different topics he covers there. So he quotes the Tshuvas Rashi. The Rashi says, Rabbeinu, Aluhu Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu Paskin, that on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Shechiyonu because it's a Kedusha Achas and it's Yom HaRichto. Yom HaRichto Loshen doesn't appear in the Gemara, that's just in Rashi. It was the Loshen Yom HaRichto. Well, calls it Kedusha Achas. So he says, Rabbi Seinu said that it's a Kedusha Achas, Yom HaRichto. So he just said Rosh. He said Shechiyonu the first night. So what are you saying Shechiyonu again? There's no Sveik Adiyam. It's not a Sveik with yesterday or today. Any other Yom HaPesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, Hashmini Atzeres. So it's a Sofik whether yesterday or today. So the Sofik, maybe yesterday was Erev Yontif, and today's Yontif, so I wasn't Yotze with the Shechiyonu that I said yesterday. And even though usually we say Sofik Brachas Lahakil, so the Gemara asked Akasha, how do you say Brachas on the second day Yontif? It's only a Sveik of the Yoyma. The Gemara says, this is an exception to the rule. So this is a Machlekes Habayi V'Rava. Why is it an exception to the rule? And the Rama Paskin is like Abaye. That's also a discussion. Why doesn't he Paskin like Rava? He Paskin is like Abaye, so the Mepharshim explained, because there's a Gemara in Sukkah that seems to say like Abai, so that's why he assumes that stomach, the Gemara is like Abai. Abai says that over here it's an exception to the rule that Safik Brachas is Lahachmir. You do say Brachas and Yom Tosheni, because Keecha Delol Zalzulibe, if you're going to observe all of it, you're not going to say Kiddush the second night. And you're not going to say Bracha Alachilas Matzah, Alachilas Marer. You're not going to say all the other Brachas. So then the people will realize that it's not really Yom Tov. So they'll do Malacha. So they want to be Mechazik. The Issa Malacha, the Rabbanon, the Yom Tov Sheni, so they told us we should say all the Brachas. Safik Brachas of Zahachma. So that's why we do say Shachyan, even though we said Shachyan on the first night, we repeat Shachyan on the second night because of the Sveika of Safik. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's not a Sveika of the Yoyma. It's what Yom HaRichto. It's not a Safik whether yesterday or today. We assume both days are Kodesh, Yom HaRichto. So therefore, you're Yotze with yesterday Shachyan. That's what Rashi quotes from his Rabbi. And then he says, Vani Aymer, and I don't agree, and the minig all over is not like my Rabbeim, Then the Rosh starts quoting. This one says, yeah, like the Rabbeim. This one says, not like the Rabbeim. Back and forth, back and forth. Our practice is that we do say Shachan in the second night. We pass, can you do? Then the Rosh quotes, but there's a minig to satisfy the both opinions. They take a pre-chodesh or a beged chodesh that requires shachyanu, so for sure you're not saying a bracha levatol. He says, v'chein ha-yanoig Rabbeinu Meir, the Maharam Rutmerg, that was the Rebbe of the Rosh. We mentioned a few times that the Mishkan Es Yankev has a true Mishkan Es Yankev was from the first group of Talmidim who learned in Baloshin. He was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Baloshin. And in the Chuvis, the Chutam Shulot, the Chuvis of Rab Chaim Baloshin, by mistake, they included a tshuva by the Mishkan Es Yankev that was printed already in the Mishkan Es Yankev before they printed the Chutam Shulot. The tshuva about the green Esrogen. Mishkan Es Yankev was a rabbi in Karlin. So they were Karlina, stolen a Hasidim there, Karlina Hasidim. So by the Hasidim, they're marked Medavke to buy a green Esrog. Because the Zara talks about the Hashibas of an Esrog Ayorek. So he says, that misunderstood. Taisa says on the Gemara that the word Yorok is a color, and it could mean yellow, brown. Taisa writes yellow, Yud, Ayin, Laman, Aleph, yellow. Or they have a different word for brown, or blue, or green. If they mean green, then it says Yorok Kekarsi, green like grass. When it says Yorok, Dam HaYorok, it says a woman has a Riyas Dam, and it's green blood, so it's a machlek satanam. We paskin that it's Tohar. So one of the professors here was once explaining, he thought he's Rabbi Torah Umada, he was explaining how is it possible to have green blood. So he gave a whole hesber. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, what is he, crazy? Dam HaYorok means brown. It means brown or yellow. It doesn't mean green. There's no such thing as green blood. There never was a machlek satanam on green. Machlek was on brown or yellow. That's what Tosis says. So that's what the Mishkan Es Yankev has. He has several of his tshuvas are to disagree with the practices of the Hasidim in his village, in Karlin. Karlin and Stolen were twin cities. If you'd walk 5 minutes, you'd be on the other side of town, like Minneapolis and St. Paul. The two cities of Mamish next to each other, Bergenfield and Tina. The two cities pour into each other. So Stolen and Karlin were two twin cities that were poured into each other. So that tshuva by mistake, Chaim Alonjan passed away, so they took whatever tshuvas they had. So he must have had this on his desk, a handwritten tshuva. But it was written by Rabbi Yankel Kalina. So they printed in his collection of tshuvas. They say it's clearly written by Mishkan Zayin. It's not written by Rabbi Chaim Alonjan. Rabbi Chaim Alonjan in his tshuvas never quotes a Zohar. And when he quotes a Gemara, he tells you, what daf, what omad, the Taisus Dibra Mascha. Mishkan Zayin says, Taisus in Eret. So Taisus in the last paragraph in Chagigit. He doesn't tell you what daf, that's not what Dibra Mascha. Chaim Alonjan always writes what Amud, what daf, what Dibra Mascha. The whole style, and it's printed in the Mishkan Es Yankev. Anyway, so how do we get involved in this? What were we talking about? So the Mishkan Es Yankev had a correspondence with Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. He was a businessman. He lived in Brod. The rabbi in Brod was a prominent Talmid Chacham, but he was not as famous as his balabas. The balabas who lived in Brod, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, was much, he was world famous. The rabbi at that time was the one who wrote the Lev Aryeh on Chulin, which used to be a classic. It's a very nice sefer. People don't use it anymore because it's not brisk. But there are things that are good that are not brisk also. It just has a very beautiful debate Torah. Maseches Chulin. It does not pilpul. It has very good stuff. So the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, had a correspondence with the Mishkan Es Yankev about Olyei Ruf. So Ephraim Zalman Margolius lived in Brod, that's in Galicia. So everybody carried it in Eretz. And the Mishkan Es Yankev lived in Karlin, that's in Lithuania. He was going out to Aser Olyei Ruven. So he has a whole bunch of reasons why Olyei Ruven in the world are not acceptable. So in the middle of one of the tshuvas, where they had the correspondence back and forth, middle of one of the tshuvas, he has a footnote. All the tshuvas are in Rashi script, and the footnotes are in bold block letters. So it's very easy to find it. You look in the tshuva, you see bold letters staring you in the face instead of a Rashi script. He has a footnote where he writes, there was a new theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidic Ashkenaz, the end of the period of the Bavli HaTosfos, that you try to be choshish for all the shittas. So that's over here. He says that's why they were machman, Ruven, but mikra then it's really not so. It's just chumra from the Hasidic Ashkenaz. So that's what the Rosh quotes over here. Hasidic Ashkenaz introduced this practice Then when you say Kiddush on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, you should have a pi chodesh or beg the chodesh, so for sure it's not a brachal of atom. And he says, V'chein hoi noi gmari rabbein emeret, Maram Rutberg had like that. Professor Kanefogel published an essay where he collected, I think, more than 10 or more than 11 cases, I forgot already, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes chumras from the Maram Rutberg along the start to be choshesh for all the different shittas. So this is one of them. The Acharonim ask Akasha, what do you mean? I'm saying Kiddush and I didn't drink yet. And I'm saying Shachyanu on a pre Chodosh, a Begat Chodosh. That's not a hepsik in between the Kiddush and the drinking. How does that solve the problem? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has an essay about this, one of his Svarim. So he says, it doesn't really solve the problem. The answer is, we pass Kamikir at then that you do say Shachyanu. That's not a hepsik. But a Chashash Brachal of Atola, some hold Brachal of Atola, and he said, there I say, so Brachal of Atola it isn't. You have a pre Chodosh, a Begat Chodosh, it's always Brachal of Atola. But if it's only the saving grace is the pre-chodesh or the beggar chodesh, then it's going to be a hepsik. So the answer is, we really pass on that you do say Shech Yom.
So should you have before you wash right away?
No. No, I don't think so. Mrs. Vilna Gaon, they quote, Mrs. Vilna Gaon showed her husband on the first day of Rosh Hashanah what she'd bought for the Pri Chodosh, for the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So he said Shech Yonah right away. Why? Because Medina the Gemara says Shech Yonah when you're walking in the street and you see it. There are two Gemaras. There are two Gemaras about saying Shech Yonah. One Gemara says when you eat it, and one Gemara says when you see it in the store. So the Vilna Gaon said, Mikra din Medina Gemara says Shech Yonah when you see it in the store. Even if you're allergic to it, even if it's unhealthy, you're not allowed to eat it. Say Shech Yonah when it's the new fruit season comes. Say Shech Yonah. So he said Shech Yonah right away when he saw the Pri Chodesh on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Then on Leil Sheni, he said Shech Yonah because that's how he paskin. He hold, you don't have to be machmer for any shittas here. That's the psak halach and goodbye. The goyim was, there were no sfeikas by him. Everything was about that. Mishnah Brura writes that there's a din that rarely comes up. Only comes up on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's a the Mishnah in Brochus that if a chazan faints in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, or in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have a siddur or a matzah. They had a dab mayon. So if the chazan loses his voice, whatever, he can't continue davening. So you have to get another chazan to take over, and the other chazan takes over can't start from the line where the chazan left off. Has to go back to the beginning of that brocha. Let's say got stuck in Hashiva Shavtenik Barishayna. So the new chazan should start from the beginning of Shiva Shavtenik Barishayna. Start from the middle where the first chazan ended off. What happens if the first shliach tzibur got stuck in the middle of the gimel rishonis or gimel achrayinus? And then the Gemara says you treat the gimel rishonis and the gimel achrayinus as if it's one unit. And the new chazan has to go back to the very beginning, all the way in the beginning. So the Mishnah Brura points out that in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur there's so many piyutim before you say Amelach HaKadosh, it takes an hour, it takes a long time from the beginning of Hazaras HaShatz till Amelach HaKadosh takes a long, long time. So it happens every year I hear about a story somewhere in the area of New York that a chazan just lost its voice in the middle. All year long you never hear that happen. You rarely hear that happen. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur it always happens. How long? You use your voice the whole time. So the din is that the new chazan that takes over has to start from the very beginning of the whole Shemoneh Esrei. So then the Mishnah Brura gives you all the din. So he has to say over all the piyutim again. So he says, no, you're ready, the piyutim we said the first time. You don't have to repeat the piyutim. But the Zachreinu Lechayim and Micha Moicha, even though it's also piyutim, it's also piyutim, so that we treat that as if it's a chelek of the Nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei. So that he should say again. But the piyutim you have to say the first time. You don't have to say over again.
Why in the case of Hashiva Shavtenik, you don't go back to Atta
Chonik? That's the beginning of that. So that's what the Gemara says, Brochas Amtsoyas Ein Lehem Seder. So Rashi learns, Kipshut Ein Lehem Seder. You can say them in any order you want. You can jumble them out of order. If a guy has a Seder and all the pages fell out, he doesn't know what he's supposed to say first. He doesn't know. He knows all the 18 Brochas. The Brochas are Makva Zul, but he doesn't have the page number. He doesn't know which Brocha he say first. So Rashi holds La Locha. The brachas hamtzayis, the seder is not miyake. That's what Rashi would say if the chazan forgot to say aneinu ben goyel roife, and then somebody reminds him later. So whenever he remembers, say aneinu over there, and then you go right. And Tosis says there is no such thing. The brachas were instituted ala seder. The Gemara says Rabbi Gamliel Hiskin Yud Ches Brachas Al Haseder. Shemin Apakuli is a Yud Ches Brachas Al Haseder. It was mean I'm sorry saying I'm saying it means it's not like the Gimel Rishonis, the Gimel Achronis that they treated as one unit. Each bracha is a separate unit. So if the chazan got stuck in the middle of a bracha, so the new shliach tzibur has to take over from the beginning of that bracha, but he doesn't have to go back to the beginning of Atar Chaim. That's how the Gemara says.
Can one say Sheikh Yana wants something that tells her, like
Farla? I don't know. It's an interesting question. Because the idea behind the Sheikh Yana is that I just, when I see this fruit is in the season, I see it's growing on the field. So I realize that I have survived another year. It's a shachar of an hagwas hazman. That's how the Netziv writes. And the Netziv was a teenager, and he wrote this, had an einfalt to write a whole chibra on the shiltas. How did that occur to him? And he had another fellow who later became his brother-in-law, the one who wrote the Aruch HaShulchan. Mrs. Aruch HaShulchan was a sister of the Netziv. Her maiden name was Berlin. So Aruch HaShulchan also wrote a chibra on the shiltas. In the same generation, two people had the same einfalt to write a commentary on the shiltas. Aruch HaShulchan every so often refers to his chibra on the shiltas. So the Netziv writes after he finished his commentary on the shiltas as a teenager. So he writes at the end, he's wondering whether he says shachyana when you complete a sefer. So he's going to chaz a shas to see when you have to say shachyana. So he starts going through shas, every gemara that talks about shachyana, at the end of the very end of the sefer on the shiltas, and he collects all the marmakimas and he comes to a conclusion on a remember really. So he's talking about the different kinds of shechion. So he says the shechion on the pri chadosh is not because you enjoy it so much, even if you're allergic to it, could be even if it's treif, I don't know, could be. He says shechion on hagos hazman, shechion on the igyon al hazman hazeh, you're excited because you, when you see the new watermelons and you see the new cherries or the berries or whatever it is, so you realize that you survived till the end of another year. So it's a shachyanu on the excitement of the Hagos Hazman. So it could even be that an orla too. I don't know. That's a good question. So that shaila comes up every so often. Our Rosh and Mishnah Berurah says every year comes up in the area of New York. Some chazan or another can't continue. Yet the Ramban in his drasha for Rosh Hashanah, that long drasha, writes that some animals have a horn that's one solid chunk, one horn, has no flesh in the middle. So he said that's not acceptable. If you drill a hole, that's not called a shofar. The word shofar comes from the word shvoferes, which means a tube, like a straw. We call it, if you drink from the straw, it's called a shvoferes. So it has to be that the horn is hollow. The Gemara says, Kotchob is Zachrus, and the Gemara calls the flesh in the middle the Zachrus, and the horn is the Nakvus. So the Gemara says, Kotchob is Zachrus, is Kosher. If you drilled a hole, you didn't scrape out all the flesh, you drilled a hole through and through, that's also good. That's not normal. You should really scrape out all of the flesh inside. So the Ramban says, if you have a solid horn that doesn't have any Zachrus in it, that's not acceptable. It has to be a Shvoferes. Then the Ramah quotes, it has to be from the Behem of Tahira. Because the Gemara says in Bame Madlik and the Huchshul Amalecha Shemayim, or Behemoth Tahira Belvat. You can't use a Behemoth Meim. The Ramah quotes it from the Ran. The Ran on Rosh Hashanah writes that he's Mesupik about that. He's not so sure why he's Mesupik. So there's a Tshuva Sefer Torah Chesed by the Rav from Lublin, Rav Shneur Zalman from Lublin, from the 1800s. The practice was then that the Rabbanim in Europe, when they would retire, they would move to Yerushalayim. They would join the Batats of the Eidah Haredis. So he printed the Sefer when he came to Yerushalayim, his Torah Chesed. So it's a very, very strong Tshuva Sefer. He told me Chacham Avadya quotes it a lot in his Tshuvas. He recommended that people should use it. I didn't know. I used to use it before I heard Chacham Avadya recommend it. So the Torah Chesed has a long Shabshuvit Rosh about this, a whole pilpul about this. Maybe the din of Levuchshu Melecha Shemaim only applies to Tashmishi Kedusha, not to Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's a din whether a sandal shel chalitza has to be from a kosher, the leather from a kosher animal or not. So Tesis quotes Rabbi Natan, has to be a kosher animal. If all of our shoes are horse leather, so that's why a chalitza shoe is, it can't be, you can't use a regular shoe, you have to have a special shoe, because Rabbi Natan was machmer. That's how the Achroinim understood the Rabbeinu Tam. that the Rabbeinu Tam says the chalitza shouldn't has to be from a kosher animal, because even applies to Tashmishi Mitzvah, which are not Tashmishi Kedush. So Ramban himself writes it as a suffix. The Ramah doesn't write a suffix. Ma writes, he quotes it, the name Ramban, it's no good. So the Achrayim Chepa, the Ramah, why did he say it's no good? Behechlet, the Ramban said he's Mesupik about it. On the side of the Shulchan Aruch, you have the Be'er HaGoyla. That was the great grandfather of the Vilna Goyim. The Be'er HaGoyla, if you ever use the Be'er HaGoyla on Shulchan Aruch, Be'er HaGoyla is assuming that you're reading the Be'er HaGoyla. So he only fills in the missing marmakayas. And sometimes he writes Shum, he's Shum, what the Be'er HaGoyla said. You can't read the Be'er HaGoyla without reading the Be'er HaGoyla. That was his great grandfather. And it's written to be read together with that. So the Be'er HaGoyla there, Be'er HaGoyla just usually gives marmakayas. He doesn't say anything. Once in a long while, he says something. Even though the Vilna Gaon was his great-grandson, the Vilna Gaon bops him over the head. And Yeridea, when the Shulchan Aruch writes about Chodosh, so you're not allowed to eat Chodosh, so the Be'er HaGoyla writes at Tzad Lahokel, that we live far away from Eretz Yisrael, so the Vilna Gaon gets upset, Yopa Hoysalo Hashtika, should have kept still, he's wrong. He attacks his own great-grandfather. Anyway, so the Be'er HaGoyla over here, he asked Akasha, how is that possible physically? A non-kosher animal that has a horn. The Gemara says that any animal that has a horn is biyadua, that it's a kosher animal. So it doesn't exist. There ain't no such thing as a non-kosher animal that has a horn. So the Achronim give terutzim. What's the ukimta? What case is he talking about? They give shvera terutzim. The Gemara has a machlekes whether the shayfa shel Rosh Hashanah should be straight, or it should be twisted, should be kofu, it should be pashut. And the Gemara says the machlokes is, Rashi explains in the Gemara, the machlokes is the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah is supposed to represent tefillah. With davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the blowing of the shofar is to enhance the davening. So the machlokes is, what position should a person be in when he davening? Should he stand erect? Nisil of Abeinu, Rashi quotes two psukim here. Rashi is just referring to Gemara and Yavamas, but the Gemara quotes the two psukim. What position should you be in when you're davening? Maybe Nisa Lavabain al Kapayim al Kel Bashamayim, you should stand erect with your face up, or you should bend over based on another Pasuk. Forgot the other Pasuk Rashi quotes from the Gemara Yeromas. So we Paskin walk erect as you should not daven Shemana Esra like this. You should daven with your head down. So the shape of the shofar should reflect the shape of the person's body when he's davening. That's what the Rashi learns in the Gemara. Pirish Amilis and the Gemara. So we paskin the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah should be kofuf by the Sfarim. It's really kofuf, very, very twisted. We say kofuf means bent to almost a right angle, a little bit close to a right angle. It doesn't have to be kofuf like the Sfarim, like the Temin Shem Esroigim, like that.
What is everything that the Temani shofars?
Fancy? Total. Never looked into it. I don't know. The Gemara says that in the Beis Hamikdash and Beis Hamikdash only doesn't apply Bigvulin. When they blew shofar on Rosh Hashanah in Harabayis, they used to blow chatzotzu simultaneously. The same thing on a Tanis Sibur. When the Ikka Mitzvah is to blow chatzotzu, they blew shofar simultaneously. So on Rosh Hashanah, with the Ikka Mitzvah shofar, so the shofar marcha chatzotzu mekatzres. The ones blowing the chatzotzes would stop at a certain point, and the one the Baal Tekeh blowing the shofar would continue to blow longer to demonstrate the Yikim Mitzvah Sayyam is b'shofar. And the Tanis Sibur is fakeret, the Yikim Mitzvah Sayyam was chatzotzes. So the ones blowing the shofar would be mekatzer, and the chatzotz would be marach to demonstrate the Yikim Mitzvah Sayyam is b'chatzotzes. So what is this based on? Why only based on Migdosh? Based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, b'chatzotzes, b'kol shofar. Hariu lefnei HaMelech Hashem. So the Gemara says only lefnei HaMelech Hashem, only when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. When you're chutz the Beis HaMikdash, then you don't blow both shofar and chatzotzu. So the Minchas Chinuch points out that the expression lefnei Hashem appears in Chumash in different places. Sometimes it means Yerushalayim, sometimes it means Harabai, sometimes it means Azara. V'shachar is ben HaBokar lefnei Hashem. So the Shechit has to be in the Azara. You can't check in the Harabai. It will be nifsal b'yotzei if you shech in Harabais. Then it says, "V'chalta sham lefnei Hashem lakecha ma'aseh digoncha yisirosh chavitzerech v'chemes b'korcha b'tzeinecha." Because in Parshas Re'ei, that goes on Yerushalayim. All Yerushalayim is called lefnei Hashem. Here, the Gemara says, "To blow the shofar from the chatzot is hariyu lefnei Melech Hashem." The Gemara says that's how they did in Har Habayis. So here it's Har Habayis is called lefnei Hashem. So the Menchas Chila points it out. The term lefnei Hashem in different psukim in a different context has a different kavana. What it means is that there are different degrees to the Kedushas based on Migdush. So the Iker of the Kedushas based on Migdush is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then you go further out a little bit, the Heichal, a little lower level of Kedusha. Then Bein Hula V'Lam Bezbech, a little lower level of Kedusha. Then the rest of the Azar, a little lower level of Kedusha. Then the Har Habayis, a little lower. Then Yerushalayim, lower. Then the Mishnah lifts off Esa Kedusha saying the 10 levels of Kedusha based on Migdush. As you go further away from the Beis HaMikdash, the Kedusha is spilling over, so it gets less and less. But the Har Habayis is one of the levels of Lefnei Hashem, because Lefnei Hashem means in Beis HaMikdash. We mentioned yesterday the kasha that the Goyim asked on the Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. Minig used to be that they blew Tashrat after Malchus, Tashrat after Zichronis, Tarat after Shevis. Everything contradicts everything else. So all the Goyim work on that kasha. So they all quote Rav Haigon. Haigon says there's no contradiction. Because Mikra Din, all three versions are acceptable. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. How could such a Sufik have arisen? They didn't remember how they blew Shofar last year. So he said the answer is they're all acceptable. Everything is acceptable. So what was Hiskin Rabba Bo B'Kisrin? The Gemara sounds like it's a takona to make sure that you yotze. He says, nah, because the Balabatim used to have a fight. Balabatim said, we're the only ones yotze. You're not yotze because in your shul they blew Tarat and we blew Tashrat. Or you're not yotze because we blew Tarat and you blew Tashrat, whatever. So he didn't want that there should be machlokes among the Balabatim, so he made an institution that everybody should blow everything. So l'chol ha'des, everybody knows that you were yotze. But the truth of the matter, everybody was yotze anyway. So that's where Rav Haigon says that since all three are acceptable, so variety is the spice of life, so we blow Tashrat after Malchus, and Tashrat after Zechrinus, and Tarat after Shevis. We don't have to worry about Takonas. Rabbi Bobby Kismin for the Chazer HaSal Shad, be ready, we yotze the Takona. In the Tkiyas Miyushov. The other Rishonim don't agree with him, because the simple reading of the Gemara is that it really was a machlaikas. It's a really a suffix. What is the correct form of Trua? So that's Takapela. How could such a suffix have arisen? But they didn't remember what they did last year. So the Ramban and the Malchamas has that as a suggestion. He comes up with a Chiddush. He says, for the tkiyas al seder abrachas, to enhance the davening, to enhance the bakosha, to elevate it to the level of that's what the tkiyah is all about. Elevate it to the level of tzaoka, tefillah sheishima, demoas. So he says for that, all the three forms are acceptable. The machlokes only is if you're blowing shofar separately, it's not part of not al seder abrachas. He also al seder abrachas only the rabbanim. So if you're blowing shofar separately for the mitzvah of tkiyas shofar, so there's the machlokes, which is the correct form. But in the Chazaras HaShatz, to convert it into a tefillah sheishima demoras, so all three forms are acceptable. An interesting idea.
Does he say that because he holds only
drabbanan? No. Who's blowing shofar and who's listening to the tkiyas shofar? Who's blowing shofar? So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that we assume in the Gemara, the Pashup Shad, we blow shofar and the Rabban Shlomo is listening. We blow shofar to enhance our tefillah, to elevate the tefillah to the... We're crying. So we're crying to the Rabban Shlomo. He should take care of all of our needs. Lochol kol hol kul b'chvirecha. Zachayim zikon tov lofanecha. Kav shofar god lachay reseinu. So we're blowing shofar, we want him to listen. Then the Rambam writes in Nechaz Tshuva, even though tkiyas shofar is a mitzvah, it's a chok, but there's a remez yeshbo, as if the Rebbe Shalom is blowing shofar that we should listen. He wants to wake us up. Uri Yishenim Mishen Aschem. We should wake up and we should do tshuva. So in that sense, the Rebbe Shalom is really blowing shofar to wake us up and to encourage us to do tshuva. So how does he wake us up? What's the signon? How? So as if he's telling us tikiya trua tikiya. What is that all about? So the Etching said over from the Mefarshim Anchumish, not even it's mekubalim also, but even without getting into Kabbalah. There's a pasuk in Koheles that reads, "Alakim asas adam yashar, v'heima bikshu cheshbonis rabim." The Baruch Shalom created man straight, and then people are mekalkal themselves. They do what? There is, and they ruin that tzelem alakim. So the pshuta tkiya is called the pshuta. The Gemara calls it. So the tkiya that you first blow, pshuta shalafanah, represents alakim asas adam yashar. Then when you blow trua, trua means broken, shever. The person breaks himself; he ruins his life by doing averus. And then the Rebbeinu Shalom is ma'iras. There can be a pshuta shalachrer. You can do tshuva. You can straighten out. You can return back to the state that you were in when you were born. Halakim asas adam yasher. So in that sense, it's as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is blowing shofar to be ma'iras, to encourage us that we should do tshuva. We have a meaning that we blow mea koilos. Tosis quotes. The Python wrote 40 koilos, and the minig from the Orach it says you blow mea koilos. So the Orach, the Tyson quote, the Orach says mea koilos because ime de Sisra. Sisra's mother cried 100 times. What's the connection is problematic. So some of the in the Torah Shlema, Rabbi Mendel Kashi used to be the editor of the Torah Shlema years ago. So he wrote very fascinating essays there in the early volumes of the Torah Shlema. That's a whole essay where he quotes many of the goyim right. That the mea koilos has nothing to do with ime de Sisra, mea koilos because the Akedah took place Rosh Hashanah time, and Sarah, when she heard that her son was almost killed, Rashi quotes, the Sultan told Sarah that her son was almost killed, so she was crying, and she died at that occasion. So the mea koilos are because Sarah was crying mea koilos, not ime de Sisra. Interesting. Yeah, the Gemara says that we blow trua as a possibility. That's a form of trua, what we call trua. So it's a shadow. What does that mean? So Rashi says tut, three trumitin, and Tosafot disagrees with Rashi. He says it should be nine trumitin, three times tut, nine trumitin. There are some poskim like Rashi. And we are always machmir. We make nine trumitin. So that's a question. Let's say that Baal Tekeh blows tkiya, then he blows trua. He didn't succeed in making nine. He only made seven. Then he doesn't go. So then he has to correct himself. So he's going to blow another trua. So according to Rashi, you have two truas over here. So it could be that it's no good. Could be it's no good. So some the Galya Masechta is choshish. He thinks that we should pass like Rashi. Galya Masechta is choshish for that. The Gemara has a din that Mishenim Mechui Bedorah and Moitzi Achem Adecha Gosen. If the best Baal Tekeh is a woman, women are not mechuyev in tkiyah shofar. Or the best Baal Tekeh is a cotton before bar mitzvah, they're not mechuyev in tkiyah shofar. Not mechuyev in any mitzvahs min haTorah. So they cannot be the Baal Tekeh to be moitzi the others. So what if the Baal Tekeh was yotze ready? Then he goes to the hospital to blow for the sick people in the hospital. So he was yotze ready. He's not mechuyev bedover. So the Gemara says that's okay. Yotze moitzi. Even though he was yotze ready, since we say kol yisrael areim zebezeh, so it's considered as if there's one Jew left in New Zealand who wasn't yet tkiyah shofar yet, so I'm still mechuyev to blow shofar because that'll help him. I'm still mechuyev in order to enable him to be yotze. So the Shabbosari has a fantastic chiddush. He claims that this is Rashi Shita. He says that this is a pshetl, that kol yisrael areim zebezeh makes it that I'm still mechuyev bedover, that's why I can blow shofar for him, but I'm not mechuyev, I was yotze already. So he claims that Rashi at different places says that it only works on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, when the tkiyas is only the Rabbanon. On the level of the rice, it doesn't work. Adi Gemara says, he says, Yatza Moitzi on Kiddush. So he says, look in Rashi at the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says it was Kiddush on Yontif. How does Rashi know it's Kiddush on Yontif? Maybe it's Kiddush on Shabbos. So the answer is because Kiddush on Shabbos is the rice. And on a din the rice, he wouldn't say Yatza Moitzi. Only on Kiddush on Yontif. Because the Magid Mishnah quotes Yeshamim, the Kiddush on Yantav is only the Rabban. And he says, this is the Pshat in Rashi and Brachas. There's a famous story there in Brachas that Yanai the Chaverav ate a whole meal, and then he didn't have a bench, had no Sidurim, didn't have a bench. So he called his brother-in-law Shimon and Shetach. Yanai HaMelech was a Meshugim. He killed all the rabbis, but he was married to Shimon Shetach's sister, Shlom Tzion HaMalka. So he got Shimon and Shetach. She was afraid he was going to kill him, so he promised not going to kill him. So Shimon and Shetach came and he benched for them. So Tosis learns he could bench even though he didn't eat any bread because Yatza Maitzi. And Rashi says it's not correct. Rashi says if you didn't eat bread, you have to eat Kedei Sviya to be able to bench for the others. Why doesn't Rashi hold Yatza Maitzi? So the Shagazari says it's Rashi the Shitosa and Rosh Hashanah. That on a din d'oraisa you don't say Yotzamaitz. That's usually not the accepted opinion. We have the Baltikev laws for the people in Haspa on the first day of Rosh Hashanah also, not just on the second day. But that's a Chiddush. Shagazari wants to say. There is a big discussion in Rishonim. Are you permitted, if you have an Erev, say you're allowed to carry in the street. Let's say there's no Erev. So on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry whatever you need. Is that called something that you need to carry a shofar where there's no Erev in order to blow shofar for women? Women are not mechuyevim to carry a shofar. If they listen to the shofar, they have a kiyum mitzvah. So is that called a tzorach? Is that called tzorach a yom tzas? Or is that even not called tzorach a yom tzas? So there are, in Shulchan Aruch says mutter to carry the shofar chutz le'erev on Yom Tov. It's called the tzorach a yom tzas. You're permitted to carry so the women can hear. I think Shagzai is not happy about that. He thinks that you should not carry. The minig usually is when they keep the Aron Kodesh. Anybody know what that's supposed to represent?
It's a drill.
Means we have to leave the building?
I think so.
Okay. So we'll do the mitzvah. Okay. See you next time. Good job. Yeah.
My wife's grandfather built a nice building for whatever reason. Only it's upstairs. You have to take an elevator that the boat would have to push.
But
the way down isn't there a lot more problems? You can't go upstairs. So
that's the shuz the shuz?
Okay.
The way up, some say there's no reason at all. Somehow to push the bus right off.
No, but if I'm in an elevator, though, aren't you actually directly affecting the, I don't know. So that's the double. So the first turbine was that he...
When he pushes the button, even if I would push the button, it wouldn't be able to operate.
I don't know.
If he understands what it means.